This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, and Alec Medford. Mike is on assignment with the Texas Rangers. He will be back on Monday. But my question for you guys right now.
Do you love Keith Richards?
Yes. Well, how much would you pay for a one-of-one Keith Richards card with a piece of his hair in it? And if you're like, did you just have a stroke? Are those just words that accidentally came together?
It's a real thing.
They are not. All right. So my question for y'all, I know you guys are working, so this is probably going to be for our audience. Are you working today? Where at and how are you pregaming for Cowboys Giants? 877-881-1053 on the Franklin Franklin Injury Attorney text line. Or if you want to hit us up on the Twitch, on the YouTube, fingers crossed it doesn't crash today. We'll see how that goes. If you want to get back to us with your feedback, because I want to know, are you working today, where at, and maybe how focused you are too. You should be focused, I hope.
I am working today, mm-hmm. as well as Alec. Mm-hmm. We're both working today. Mm-hmm. I am pre-gaming by talking about the Cowboys game tonight.
That makes sense.
And then take Lucy to therapy after school and be home right in time for kickoff.
Okay.
So like Adrian has some things to do, and she said hers is done at 7. So she will be home at 7, and she will take care of the kids for the rest of the night. But I have things to do after the show today. So I'll be listening to the G-Bag Nation and listening to the pregame show right here on 105.3 The Fan leading up to it. And I don't know if I'm focused or not today, though.
What?
Yeah, because the focus level, Kevin, like all I'm thinking about is having these daydreams about what the game's going to be like and going back and forth in my own mind of where exactly I feel about this. So
if the Cowboys lose, do you want us to get ready with the drop of are you embarrassed and just play it regardless of whether you approve with Jerry?
I am trying to figure out how to phrase that.
Okay.
Because
you did it right the last
time. At that point, Kevin, you knew Jason Garrett wasn't it, and you knew that team was better. That's the reason I asked it. You knew that team was better. Dak was a better quarterback than they were playing.
Yeah.
And you were sitting there going, there's something wrong with the way that this team is managed.
Fair.
And right now, it feels like there's still personnel and mismanagement at the same time. So that's where it's a little bit like, I guess the reason I would ask him something like that would be, are you embarrassed about the players that you got? But I think the question still on that is, do you feel like these players are the ones you got on the defensive front are good enough? He said Tuesday he thinks they are.
Yep.
Will he feel the same way on Friday?
Now, from the YouTube, I'm working today. I'm pre-gaming by watching the Rangers. Ooh, that's a solid idea.
That is a great approach today.
From the 469, I'm just running my pest control route, talking to my customers about the game and listening to you boys for the pregame. From the 972, I own my own barbershop, pregame weed.
Oh, man, I bet.
This is probably not a question my bosses
you
want
cannot
me to
get
ask,
a pregame weave.
But my question.
You have no hair.
No, weed.
Oh, okay.
Not pregame weave.
Okay, sorry.
Pregame weed. if you're pregame weeding it,
uh-huh.
do you want to like be able to cycle through by the time the game starts and be refocused? Or do you think people are anticipating the worst and they're like, I don't really want to watch this game?
Yeah, so, you want to be calm at kickoff. And then around halftime, you're like, I got to reboot. So that I can fall asleep here in just a little
bit.
Unless you have the, sativa. I don't know which one is which.
From the 817, working from home, boys. And I mean hardly working. Toloing since 6 a.m. is how I am pre-gaming. From the 817, I'm working today, kind of focused, but not because of the Cowboys.
On the Twitch, TX Fathead says, multiple 105.3, the fan host saying Dallas is losing has me losing it. He's working from home, not very focused, to be honest.
So I'm going to go back to this.
Mm-hmm.
I know times have changed, teams has changed, personnel has changed. This feels like a classic Cowboys game where they win, 38-17 or something like that. And then so tomorrow, Jerry and then Steven, when he's on with G-Bag, can talk about like, don't worry about those other 2 weeks. We're back. Division games are the most important games, and we just smoked what they'll say was a red-hot Giants team. And by red-hot, I'll be like, because they won a game? Yes, that is what made them red-hot. This just feels like a classic Cowboys game based on many, many, many previous seasons where they thump a lesser-than opponent and trick themselves into thinking they're better than they really are, and then reality will punch them in the face in the ensuing 3 to 4 weeks. Now, if that doesn't happen and they lose this game, well, throw the script out the window because I have no idea how it's going to go tomorrow.
Then
probably poorly.
That is, you know what, Kevin, and I'll say this. We'll worry about that tomorrow.
Fair.
Or tonight after the game during the post-game show.
Fair.
With Zach Woolchuck and Brian Broaddus.
I'm telling you, like, I want you to listen all day tomorrow regardless. But if they lose,
You gotta stop it because if they lose, dude.
They lose. Alec, tell me if you think I'm wrong. How insanely heated is that post-game show going to be right here on The Fan?
It'll be amazing. Polo's going to call in, and he's going to say, Broaddus, I know I told you I would never call in again, but I called in after the first game of the year, and here I am. I'm back again. Polo will have some things to say. And then there will be more callers. There will be a couple callers that have their radio turned up too loud and they can't hear what's going on, and they'll have to hang up on them.
People still not figured that out.
And then there will be a couple callers that are very, very drunk. Kevin,
okay.
When the Rangers won the World Series, do you remember we came in here and we had a blast until like 4 in the morning?
I do.
And there were a lot of people cussing on accident. And they even messaged us and were like, I'm so sorry. I'm just very drunk right now.
There's this clip from G-Bag that I don't know if we've scrubbed from the internet or not, but it is shocking the night that the Rangers won the World Series.
So here's the thing. For anybody that's pre-gaming, Kevin, I try to tell you this often, okay? I try to tell you this often, and it sounds like you're not there. If you're going through this today, if you're pre-gaming, don't get caught up in the what if they lose, what if they win. Because if they lose and that's a terror for you, and they do actually lose, then you've lived it twice. You live the what if, and
that's
then
true.
You had to live it again.
That is
but
fair.
If you just ignore it and go do other things in your mind, like what if Dak Prescott throws for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns?
I said they're going to win by 3 touchdowns.
And they win. Then you'll have that vibe of, you know what? I thought about that, and they won. Then you get to live that twice. You get to live the victory twice. So think about that today so that your mind can be more focused on positive energy.
Corey, you're not going to like this one. I swear, you know this is not my phone number. From the 817. I'm a medical scribe working at Texas Health HEB. I'll be pre-gaming by expecting the worst so I can slowly numb the pain for when we lose today. So look, kind of the opposite.
Like with morphine?
I think they mean mentally numb the pain.
Okay, gotcha.
I think pretty much exactly the opposite of what Corey just suggested from the 972. Selling air conditioners and playing on pre-gaming by listening to y'all and playing golf. From the 469, Panther to you, driving trucks, doing deliveries today. And the Cowboys have to earn a planned pregame. Instead, I'm going to listen to you guys.
Somebody said sativa is for sleep, dum-dum. Indica is for keeping you up, Corey. And I said, I knew y'all would know. And then Baseball Jesus says, KMC is the show for potheads. That should be a promo. So the Twitch is on fire today.
Fact.
And that is lots of fun.
From the 737, I'm working. I work for UPS in Austin. And I'm pre-gaming by praying. So look, Corey.
And then Mike underscore X Cowboy says, my director is off. I gave my team the day, so I'm not doing anything, and I'm doing pot pass. So
okay.
I think that means that they're cooking. So they're cooking in this pot, and then passing it over to
team effort, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's how it goes.
Okay, that's good. Would you rather do that or play the game Stone Face?
What is that game?
Guys.
I've never played that game before.
Marquise Bell and Kay, just don't say it on air. Marquise Bell and Kalen Carson are listed as doubtful, but we talked about this would probably be the case. There are defensive backfield issues for the Giants as well. Jackson's out,
yes.
Phillips out. And so it looks like both teams are going to have to call to their reserve. Now, luckily for the Giants, they experienced this in the last game, so perhaps they're better prepared than the Cowboys are.
Sorry.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
All the people are upset about the conversation about the weed, Kevin. When it comes to...
Are they?
Yeah, well, they're all... Everybody disagrees. I'm wrong. I don't know. We'll figure it out. The players in the secondary for the Giants, I agree, are not as good as everybody else across the league. And maybe that is where that can take advantage of them. Is, look, maybe we can get that separation from Brandon Cooks. Maybe we can get a little more than just CeeDee Lamb. Maybe Jake Ferguson can have his night. But it's the difference in the way they play. And that's why I'm not expecting some of the things that we've seen in the past, because with Wink, and we discussed this yesterday with our writer from The Athletic, they, in the past, everybody has turned around from Dak Prescott and run with the receivers. This is turn around, two high safeties, everything's in front of you. Look in the backfield, watch Dak Prescott. Whatever he does, that dictates what you do. And so that's how they're playing now in the Shane Bowen defense. And that's something that two high safeties has been something that's really crushed the Cowboys, because they love taking advantage of that big play. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment on their first 15. I just kind of did a little study on that. But that's what they do differently. So it's just a different look than we're used to with the Giants that Dak's been dominating over the last few years.
Now, Corey, with that information in mind, you need to help this person from the 469. Should I take the Cowboys in my Survivor League? There's only like 100 people left, and it's $50,000 to the winner.
So, like, I don't know. How does this work? I've never played in a Survivor League.
You can only use each team once, right?
Yeah.
And so, do you take a look at San Francisco against the Patriots, perhaps,
okay,
as your go-to?
Yeah, I haven't
even... Do you
think
the Texans over the Jags, because the Jags are like...
The Jags are terrible right now. I would have said everything on Carolina for a long time, but now...
Against them.
I really thought Carolina was going to lose every game this year.
Yeah.
Based on the way that they looked. So... Yeah, man, I would want, you'd think Cincinnati over Carolina is it. Because Cincinnati is a far better team than that. But they've been bad lately. You know Andy Dalton wants revenge, right?
Does he?
You know Andy Dalton wants revenge.
From the 682, I'm not going to say where I'm working because I am pre-gaming for the game during work and on my lunch break. So probably not going to tell you. And that's totally fine. I absolutely appreciate it. But there are a lot of people who are fired up for this game or doing the appropriate things so they're prepared for the inevitable result.
Yeah. Maybe Titans over Dolphins. I know the Titans are 0-3 right now.
Just because the Dolphins haven't
they
had
don't
a
have
lead
a quarterback
in a game all year.
Unless, I mean, as Alex said yesterday, former Pro Bowler Huntley is going to come in there and do his stuff.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
Because the Ravens are a good football team.
Okay.
And while he was the quarterback, he looked good because the Ravens are good. So, like, that's why.
From the 214, I'm doing Uber, and I'm going to pregame by going to marriage therapy. Huh. From the 325, I'm working, delivering the mail, toloing since 6 a.m. and will be till game time. What time do, I know you work earlier than that because you like got to load up the mail and stuff. What's the earliest people drop mail in a mailbox?
3 in my house.
Okay.
It's never until 3
o'clock. And I know
it's
got to be earlier than that because I did live at a place once for like 1 year. I don't know what the deal was, but our guy would drop off the mail at like 10 in the morning every day. And I always thought, man, good for you getting after it. So I know you got a lot of other stuff to do, but what's the earliest you've ever gotten like actual mail in your mailbox?
Yeah. I'm going to go with 3
o'clock
at the moment. What's the earliest you should text somebody or call somebody? Because I feel like before 9 o'clock is too aggressive.
I could see that. My same question for how late.
Yeah.
Because
the cutoff time's 9:30.
Okay. And see, because there's sometimes business ideas or peace-a-thon ideas that pop into my head. And I want to text somebody, but I don't want to text them, you up at 11. I want to be like, hey, you up for donating? Like, that's...
called them and they've gone, it's too late. It's past the cutoff time. That's never happened to you before, right?
Yeah, no.
But they'll probably just not answer. Real quick, Kevin, everybody is saying indica is in the couch. That means it puts you to sleep. Sativa is the one that gets you up. And then Mike asked if everybody is pre-gaming for the Rangers game today. So that's a...
Man, Mike, I need you to let us know if the game's going to be a forfeit or not because of unruly fans in Oakland. Maybe we'll get more information from Jared about that as well. Fascinating. For the 903, my first mailbox I hit is about 7:45 to 8:40 a.m. My hat from the 940, my house must be early on the route because I get it 8:30 to 9 a.m. daily. And then from the 469, route delivery is supposed to start at about 9:45 or 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Woo!
And then actually deliver around 3.
It depends where you are on the route. That's fair. Plano, they have to drive so far to get to each house.
There's a lot of houses.
The sprawling estates. No, and you're like, I got to drive houses. So far to get to the
they
next
said,
one.
They said, how can we use this plot of land and get as many houses on here as possible?
Yes. Oh, and from the 469, I used to be your mailman, Kevin. I believe that. I actually got a package once that said, they like wrote on the outside of the package, KNC forever. And I thought that was super neat.
Nice.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Corey has done an intensive study.
Oh, crap. I better find it.
Oh, no. The Cowboys' first 15 plays and how or if they've changed from last year. Maybe how they could still evolve. We'll do it all next right here in The Fan.
First down, Prescott back, good block from Steele over the middle, pass is intercepted at the 35-yard line as Jalen Brooks fell down. And running around, it's Paulson Adebo, and he's running to the right now, to the 45, to the 40, Adebo right to the 30, got Prescott turned around, and Prescott and Zeke Elliott tackling.
KNC Masterpiece back here from 105.3 The Fan, from the 214, I'm not going to change the station. But is Kevin still hoping the Cowboys lose? For the record, that is not what I said yesterday.
For your interest, he hopes they lose.
I think it would be more interesting if they lost, but I think they are going to win. I want to make that very clear. Now, Corey, you've done a research project about the first 15 plays of the drive or of the game last year versus this year, if I understand correctly.
Yes. Well, and... Not versus this year, but I was looking for some trends.
Okay.
Because word is that the Cowboys last year, around after the Chargers game, around the bye week, the Cowboys players went to Mike McCarthy and said, hey, we would like to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was like, oh, yeah, you want to do it differently? And then threw the playbook at him and was like, y'all figure it out. And then Dak was like, I got this. Offense is about to be better. I have no clue how that went down.
And it was.
I've just been told that after that, it happened. Now, the Broadus is brought up multiple times, and he brought up on the Love of the Star podcast that he's concerned about the Cowboys' first 15 because it hasn't been very productive so far. And I think we all agree that the Cowboys have not been as productive as you'd like them to be.
For sure.
Their first 15 is 5.7 yards per pass. They're after that, 6.1. So they're better after the first 15. They do have a better completion percentage in the first 15. Their runs, 4.1 yards per run, 3.4 yards per run after that. So that's where the Cowboys are right now. Now, you might ask, why does that matter? Why do the first 15 matter? And if you're new to sports, if you're new to football, we can discuss that too. Kevin, what are the reasons you think the first 15 are important?
Because that is literally where you think you should have the advantage in terms of going into the game. And plus, those are the plays that you've probably scripted and practiced most. So you would think, in theory, those would be the most polished. And by the way, if your first 15 don't work and you can't pivot quickly, the other team's probably going to eat you up.
And I completely agree with doing things for a purpose. If you script your first 15 and you're like, all right, cool, we did it, and then you go, like, everything else changes after that and you had no plan for that, well, that's weird. But if you're a head coach that has the idea that you're going to run your first 15 and what you see, I am exploiting this matchup now. We have seen that this guy's not any good, and I know that I can make plays on him. I have three other plays that are designed to take advantage of that cornerback today. When we see this happen again, we're going to have a 35-yard play downfield. Just book it. And so that's one of the things that's one of the ways you want to feel out what their defense is, kind of see what they're doing, how they're adjusting to your motions. Whenever you go left, whenever you go right, and your motions, are they following? Are they staying stuck in their defense? I know with Dan Quinn's defense, they didn't like to adjust a lot to your motion. They said, we're just going to stay still. And their feeling behind that was, we're forcing you to make a decision based on what our look is. We're not getting moved out of place and letting you go, oh, I just see something. That's what the Dan Quinn philosophy was. You're trying to set up their defense for something too. That's another reason that you're scripting this first 15 so you can go, okay, I'm using this play to set up another play later in the game. Mike McDaniels, Mike Shanahan, they do this all the time. They set up things.
And so, pretty darn effectively,
yes,
we feel like,
yes.
Right?
And I remember Jimmy Johnson, we've seen this frequently throughout careers, I got to get Michael Irvin involved early. I got to get the ball to Michael Irvin because otherwise he's going to get disinterested. I got to get him and Troy in a rhythm early. So you set up a few of these plays, and like you said, you've practiced them all week.
Yep.
And these guys know, I'm going to get this ball early. Yep. It's time for me to get hot. And then you run plays that you're good at. You say, hey, I want to score. I want to score first and be ahead of everybody, and I want the other team to chase us. That's why the Cowboys took the ball last week. They wanted to score. Unfortunately, it wasn't successful.
For the record, though, like, I don't want to be Captain Hindsight here and be like, that was dumb. I supported the decision then. I still support the decision for them to take the ball first.
Okay.
I know that goes against, like, kind of conventional football wisdom. If you win the toss, I want the ball.
Okay.
For this specific team.
This team, because you don't think that this team can stop people.
And
they need to play with the
lead. Once they fall behind, yeah.
Okay. And so that's kind of like... That's what this is all kind of about. And I love the story Bobby told, because he did this yesterday on This Year, the first three games, what the Cowboys are looking like. And we kind of broke down those numbers there. They have a better completion percentage. They have more yards whenever they're not in their first 15. And they're better at running in their first 15. So that's a good thing, I think. I don't know.
Hey,
Bobby told a story, though, about the Cowboys. George Seifert walks in with his first 15, and Dave Wannstedt's evidently scripted his too. I'd like to ask Tony Casillas if he was here for that too, because defenses don't generally do that. Like,
yeah,
they're scripting their own. But he said, I am not giving my defense away to you. So I'm just calling 15 plays to start the game,
yeah.
And we'll see how we'll make adjustments from there. And like I said, if you have a purpose, you can manipulate that in so many different ways. That's important. Having a reason that you're doing it is important. And so if Mike McCarthy's rolling out there and saying, I'm doing this motion, but not taking advantage of what the motion is setting up for you, then that's a real big problem. If Dak Prescott stepping up to the line, changing plays up, but he's not using it to set something up for another reason, then he's got to adjust to that a little bit. And again, I do not know what goes on in that room between those two guys.
Because aren't you kind of fascinated to know how much input and feedback there is in terms of Dak's like, well, that doesn't make any sense if that's play 7,
yes.
If this is going to be play 13. Like, I'm really fascinated by that aspect.
Or
now.
If Dak says, I'm more comfortable with this sure. than I am with that.
Sure.
And Mike, I would prefer not to do that. And does Mike McCarthy listen? Because the best coaches do not ask their players to do things that they can't do. If they can do it, then he's like, all right, let's milk that for all it's worth. If they can't, then we got to come up with something else. All right, so Kevin, I went to look at the first 6 weeks
of last year
year to try to get a better idea, a better understanding of what they were doing. And in the pass attempts versus run attempts, in the first 6 weeks, 59 pass attempts, 31 rush attempts.
Okay.
59 for 349 yards. And then 31 for 100 yards. They did not run the ball well to start games.
I was going
to
say, can we just stop it right there? I don't know what your plan is for the rest of the games, you know, like every single one of these individual games. But if you start out running the ball at a clip of 3.2 yards per carry, I always wonder if that's going to change your philosophy. You're like, dude, we can't run the ball.
Yeah,
today.
No, yeah, I agree with you. Do you just go, well, it's going to be a pass day.
Yeah.
It's a Dak day today. And if you look kind of in the rest of the offense, because I did also chart that out, like how they did the rest of the game as opposed to their first 15, it does kind of mirror that when they saw something in their first 15, they continued on with it. So that second week, though, the second weeks, they go a little bit heavier pass, 63 pass attempts in the second six games.
And this is supposed intervention, I guess.
Yeah, when Dak went to him and said, hey, I would rather do it this way. So they upped the number of pass attempts, 404, 6.4 yards. That means that's better than they were before at 5.9 yards. They're more efficient running the ball, too, and they're running the ball less. So they're getting more yards, running the ball less, and more efficient at it, too. And then in the third, this is kind of weird because I did include the Green Bay game in this, too. The Green Bay game had 60 pass attempts, so like that was a little wild. But they were, in the third 6 weeks, they had 54 was the number, 439 pass yards, and then run attempts, 36. And they were, again, Buffalo is the point of demarcation in that last 6 weeks. Because when the Buffalo game happens, it all changes. Right in weeks 7 through 9, the Cowboys are consistent. 10 passes, 5 runs. And in that stretch where Dak kind of took over, it was 9-6, 10-5, 12-3.
Okay.
A lot of times Dak is more pro pass early in the game in his first 15 than he is run.
If that's true. Which makes sense, right? Because like as the quarterback, well, that just makes sense for a lot of reasons. But also, statistically, if you were going to pass the ball every single time, you'd be better off than if you mix it up. Now, I realize how that actually would play out in the game could be problematic, but you're more apt to get more yards in a pass play than a run play. That's just the reality of football. So that breakdown kind of makes sense to me. It feels like, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, that those immediate 6 weeks after the offensive intervention is when it was the most effective, when Dak's like, what if we do it like this?
And then Buffalo hits, they're a better defense, and they don't know how to adjust. And then, Kevin, the last game against Washington and the game against Green Bay, you go back to closer in 8-6 or 8-7. And I wonder if McCarthy was like, hey, it's playoff time. I kind of want to take more control over this. I don't know. But it feels like Dak Prescott is much more comfortable in the offense whenever he gets to pass a lot more, and the running game becomes more efficient because you're passing to set up the run.
Okay, I'm just throw this out as my opinion. Maybe you won't agree.
But again, after those first 15, the Cowboys are more successful passing the ball and do it more frequently as well.
I think if it's anything closer than 10 pass, 5 run, you have made a mistake in scheduling your first 15 plays.
Do me a favor. What is 10 pass, 5 run? What's the percentage pass there?
66.67%.
Okay, so it's 66.
So it's 2/3.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. 44, but 66.
I think that's a mistake. If it's any closer than that, so it's 9-6 at whatever.
34.
I think that is a mistake. Okay. I think it needs to be at least 10-5. And if you want to move it over to 11-4, I would listen to that just because this team doesn't seem to be able to run the ball. I have no faith in their personnel. I know they have faith in their personnel, so maybe they see this entirely different.
One last thing before we do that. I completely read one of Bobby's notes wrong.
Okay.
But I did go to look at big plays, mm-hmm. big plays downfield in the first 15. In the first 6 weeks, 7 for 179 yards. The next 6 weeks, 13 for 303. Dak evidently had at least 2 to 3 plays that went almost 20 yards or more. The 92-yard touchdown in the Lions game was huge.
Yep.
But there were a lot more big plays, try to stretch the field and see what they got, and a lot more completions that actually made that happen. So let's see if that adjustment, if it's there, if they can find that and be better in their first 15 like Broadus is suggesting they need to be.
Will you take partial credit for that as well?
Absolutely not. Okay. I just went and looked at the past. So this is reactionary, not proactive.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors. And I believe we're going to talk with Jared Sandler.
Yeah, let's give Jared Sandler a call and see what Oakland's like next in The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Buckets with Corey Major.
Thank you very much, Chuck Morgan. Today is the last day for the Rangers and A's at the Coliseum. Mm. And we head to Jared Sandler, who is probably tearing up right now thinking about this stadium and the possum that lives in the wall not being able to do their thing. Jared, how's it going today, man?
He's not ready.
Okay, we'll wait for a few moments to talk to Jared. And when we do, we'll see how things go. But Mike Bacsik has been texting me this morning, Kevin. He wants to give us updates even though he doesn't want to be on our show. He said it's a sellout, 50,000 people. He said 42-13 Cowboys. This is where Dak earns his contract. He kills bad teams.
That's what I think.
He said 4 times the amount of security will be at this game today, and fans haven't caused any major issues so far. But we do have Jared Sandler on the line. Jared, how's it going today, man?
Hey, sorry. I heard you like introduce me and here's whatever, and then my phone dropped. So
it's all good, man.
Kind of awkward, I'm sure. I don't know what you said after that, but
did you see that rat in the wall and you were afraid and you had to hang out?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I've never had anything other than a great experience going to the Coliseum. And I think players probably like it more than they let on because I think they feel like they've got to push for better quality of amenities and whatnot and keep trying to raise the bar. But if you're a visiting player and you're there 3 times a year, I mean, all players will say it's the best playing surface in baseball. Pitchers tend to love the mound. You heard Nate Lowe yesterday talk about how much he loves the backdrop there to, you know, to hit in the batter's box. He said it's the best batter's box in baseball. I mean, there are a lot of charming qualities about that place, and it's this is not a happy day. I know there will be some celebrations and whatnot, but it's really more a celebration of life. This is like a funeral more than it is anything that has positive emotions attached to it.
Is there any chance that the Texas Rangers could win by forfeit today because of unruly Oakland A's fans?
I'm not going to rule it out. I did say last week, you know, people were throwing out all these like doomsday scenarios and, you know, people love drama and stuff like that. I told everyone, I was like, you guys are nuts. This is not, they're going to have security. Nothing like that's going to happen. So if it does happen, I'm going to look like a total idiot. But I mean, I'm sure there's going to be stuff that happens that is just not something you'll typically see I know yesterday what Bob Nightingale tweeted, that someone tried to walk out of the stadium with one of the seats. I guess they brought a screwdriver. I don't know how that works, but I don't anticipate anything to the level of forfeiture, but I don't blame these fans if they're not to do that, not to put anyone in harm's way, but if they want to be rowdy and you got all sorts of chants. I mean, listen, if they did like 5 innings worth of sell the team chants or, you know, bleep John Fisher, that would not surprise me. But I think that Major League Baseball is going to make sure that there's crowd control as far as going on the field.
Yeah, that plays. I know Marcus Semien talked a little bit about it. Do you think he's going to have an emotional moment with this today?
I'll be honest, Corey, I've rarely seen him have any kind of emotional moment. He is about as stoic of a person. I mean, he'll laugh and have a good time when he's not in baseball mode. But like when he's in baseball mode, I remember I went up to him his first year because he's a huge Warriors fan, right? And I went up to him and it was like the Warriors were playing. And think about playoffs, that's beginning of the season. I spent like a month and a half with Marcus Semien, and I was like, you nervous about the game? I said something that you would just like a normal sports fan, like, hey, like, what are you thinking about the game tonight? And he just looked at me and said, I'm thinking about, and it was like some random pitcher. It wasn't like I'm thinking about facing Jacob DeGrom. It's like, I'm thinking about, you know, facing Corey Majors or something. It was just like, I was like, oh, okay, got it. No, that's not just, I've had plenty of great basketball talks with Marcus and whatnot, but he's just, yeah, I don't know. I hope he does though. I hope, even if it's not outward, you know, I just hope he feels something. I mean, he's a Bay Area guy. He wasn't drafted by the A's, but he came up with the A's as a major leaguer. He was traded by the White Sox after making his debut with the White Sox to the A's. So he didn't come up through their system, but he was raised as a major leaguer there. Yeah. And Ron Washington's work with him while he was in Oakland, you know, what Marcus has said is, you know, changed the trajectory of his career. And I know his family, you know, is always there, at least in the 3 years he's been with the Rangers. I don't think they've missed a trip out to the Bay Area. And so it's sad. And guys, we had actually a pretty lengthy postgame show last night for a game that ended at around midnight for a team that's not playing for anything. And there were some A's fans who called in. We had someone call in from Northern California. We had a local A's fan in the Metroplex. And they were sharing memories. And then we had a Rangers fan call in. It was like the most random thing. It was this sweet older gentleman. And it was kind of an out-of-place phone call because he just decided, well, A's fans are sharing their memories. I just want to tell you my memories as a Rangers fan. And it wasn't like we weren't talking about that, but as he's sharing his memories, I'm thinking, this is what you're taking away from people.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that every city in America deserves a sports franchise. And obviously, there are some shortcomings with the A's as an organization. It just seems like the analogy I used last night, I talked about divorce. When my parents got divorced, I don't remember them ever liking each other. So it was a relief for me. I'm glad, like, okay, fine, this all now makes sense. But, you know, what happens if you're someone cheated on someone else and it's not as well received of a divorce? You know, that's what this feels like. It feels like there was infidelity and there's heartbreak because of it, as opposed to an amicable split. And I hate that there are people who they are going to be stripped of the opportunity to have some of these special memories and bonds and whatnot that so many people talked about last year as the Rangers were going through their run and won the World Series. Like, I think about that, and I think about the kids who aren't old enough to maybe get it. It doesn't make sense to them, and, you know, their heroes are being taken away. And I just I feel for those kids because they certainly don't deserve it.
Yeah, my parents' divorce was very, like, caught off guard. And yeah, never expected it. And that's a different story for a different time.
I was a save the marriage baby, and it didn't work.
Okay,
so.
Gotcha. Now, yeah. Kevin.
Oh, my gosh.
We just had a real life alert. It's okay.
No, that's fine. Let me ask you a follow-up question then. No, what if it wasn't technically a divorce because you hadn't got married just yet? Would you ever tell your kid that your significant other was the cheater and that's why it fell apart?
Don't do that.
Interesting. It seems like, is this like the Hallmark Kevin Hagelin life story?
Hey, this is just a question, Brandon. Jared. It didn't have to be about anything.
Hey, Jared.
haven't considered that one. I'll get back to you after doing some research.
Thank you.
All right, man. Before we let you go, I told Kevin earlier, Kamar Rocker's game against Seattle looked like I've been waiting for this moment for my whole life. I am prepared for it. The game against Texas looked like I've been waiting for this moment. Oh, man, this is different than I thought it was going to be. And this environment that he's going to walk into today, and that'll be on News Radio 1080 KRLD is where you'll hear the Rangers game today. Starts at 10:40. What are you expecting him to go into that environment like? What are you hoping he gets out of it?
Yeah, I hope it's a special experience because I think that there are not going to be many environments, regular season environments like the one today in Oakland. I just hope, he ends the season on a high note. It's going to be his last outing. So, I don't think it's going to phase him one way or the other, but I think it'd be great if he can go into the off season with a positive taste in his mouth. He'll forever be a part of a trivia question of, who's the starting matchup in the final ever game there. Maybe he gets the win if he can get through five, but you're right, Corey. I mean, the Seattle start and then the next one too looked a little bit different. The velocity was down just a tick. We didn't see as much chase or swing and miss on the breaking ball, but I don't know that nothing he does is going to change my opinion, nor should it change anyone's opinion in terms of what they feel like next year will be. But this is going to be a pretty ridiculous environment. He pitched in some crazy environments at Vanderbilt in the College World Series, but nothing that's going to come close to comparing to this. I don't even know how you prepare for whatever it is they're about to do. This is going to be the closest, I think this is going to be the closest environment that resembles like a European soccer match fervor Ooh. In the crowd and intensity that you'll get for a baseball game here domestically.
Now, I know you said you don't think it's going to end up with a forfeit, but if it did, do you think Kamar Rocker should get the victory?
So I think that he, depending on I actually don't know. We'd have to get Matt Hicks on this. I think he maybe would, depending on how the game had played out. But, yeah, I mean, let's just make the rule now that no matter what, forfeit or not, even if he doesn't end up starting today, if there's a change, he should just get the victory because.
Okay. If things break down and you want to grab two seats, one for the Sandlot charity and one for Peace-a-thon, I'd really appreciate that, man.
Well, I'd love to. I'm actually in Dallas, so that'd be tough for me to pull off, but maybe we'll get Matt. Matt loves to steal stuff.
You really just destroy the illusion of that whole thing, Jared. It was really had something working there.
All right, man.
Thanks, Jared.
See you guys.
Man, he just crushed my hopes and dreams with that last part.
Like you said, though, maybe Matt Hicks will do it. He loves steal things, so.
Is that true?
That's what he just said. I'll just believe Jared.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.